Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined in studio by our Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hi, Tim.
Hey, it is great to be back with you. We just recorded a show, so I'm thinking, wait, is this deja vu? Oh, no, we were
It's funny because the first hour I couldn't remember what day it was because I had been saying the other day. And then I was like, oh, I think it's Tuesday. So, yes, that's what happens when we pre-record. I am not good at traveling back and forth through time.
Yes.
Like, I honestly get confused.
Because it was Memorial Day a couple of hours ago.
We were just celebrating Memorial Day this morning, yes. Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines is Tim Staples' book. Oh, you've got other books like Nuts and Bolts, my favorite apologetics book. And,
thank you, Cy Kellett.
And many others.
Yes.
A cast of many others. You've been traveling, have you? Have been doing anything or have you been
yes,
home?
Yes, but I am home, in fact, because I'm hoping, in fact, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow to see if I might be having a surgery on my leg. If you recall, part of my health situation included blood clots in my leg, and we're hoping to be able to take care of that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I will find out if I'm going to have surgery. It's just, it never ends. The fun never stops.
It doesn't, but I have to say you have a faithful disposition, and therefore it strikes me as a kind of a joyful disposition about the whole thing. I never hear you complaining or fussing. You just... although I have heard you make inappropriate jokes about yourself and your health.
Yes.
So I know that there are lots of people who pray for you, Tim. So you're going in tomorrow and you'll find out.
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All
yes.
Right.
Prayers.
Well, open forum. Do you know how open forum works?
I do. I think.
Do you have to be Catholic to call?
You do not.
And are you allowed to ask questions about any aspect of the Catholic faith?
Any aspect whatsoever, what we believe, what we practice.
Yes, right.
Maybe something really ticks you off. We want to hear about it.
888-318. That's a better way to do the intro for this. I got to do that from now on. It's like when you do, you can do the creed or you can do the part where they ask you, do you reject Satan? Do you reject, you know, like, so we just did the.
There you go.
The back and fourth one, dialogic form. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to talk to Tim about any aspect of the life or faith of Catholics. 888-318-7884. Don't ask him about the Bible, though. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. So.
the Holly Bibble, are you talking about?
The Holly Bibble. for those of you who have never listened to Catholic Answers before, it's just a joke. We do read the Bible.
Yes, we do.
And Tim knows the Bible, so you can ask questions about
it. I love the Holly Bibble.
Yes, I have noticed that. You can't pronounce it, but you do love it. Shall we go to calls, Tim?
Yes,
because already they're all full. So
let's
go to Frank in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on the EWTN app. Frank, thanks so much for waiting. Your question for Tim Staples.
Yes, good afternoon. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
You're good. Talk right into the phone there, Frank.
Okay. I have a goddaughter who's she's also a sponsor to one of her cousins, and she's cohabitating, and she participates at an Episcopal church at their communion that they have. Should I say something to her, or should I not?
So you're talking about a confirmation. I think I better repeat it because it was kind of hard to hear, Frank. I want the listener to know. So you have a goddaughter. She's someone's confirmation sponsor, and she's living in a situation where she's cohabitating with someone else. And
she's going to an Episcopalian church. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to know if you should say something to her about the appropriateness of this.
Yeah, okay. Now, she is let me clarify here, Frank. Does she also go to Catholic Mass? Is she Catholic? Or what is the situation? Has she left the faith now and she's Episcopalian?
No, her parents are the type that don't like to say nothing to their kids because they don't want to hurt their feelings.
How old is she? How old is she?
She's 23.
Okay, 23. Now, was she baptized, raised Catholic?
Yes.
And she received the sacraments of initiation, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, we're Mexican descent, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I think I got a good picture here. Yeah, this is that's an unfortunate situation. It looks like your goddaughter needs to be evangelized. She's obviously not going to Mass. She's going to an Episcopalian, which is not really a church. It's an ecclesial community and not a church because they don't have a valid Eucharist. So I think the order of the day would be, Frank, that she needs to be evangelized to help her to understand that Jesus Christ is God and we have to obey him. Jesus, as a matter of historical fact, established the Catholic Church. He did not establish the Episcopalian ecclesial community. He did not. He established the Catholic Church, and she, as a Catholic, is bound to obey our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we got to get back to the foundations here and help her to see, you know, who Jesus is and that Jesus established the Catholic Church, to which she needs to get back and go to confession. And now, if I could follow up here, so she's not going to Catholic Church, she's going to an Episcopalian community here, but she's still sponsoring a Catholic who is about to be confirmed, is that correct?
No, she already sponsored that person in.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, well, that's in the past. The key is you are the God, you know, this is your goddaughter. And so what immediately comes to mind is James 5:19. If any man sees his brother in sin and converts him from the error of his way, let him know he has saved a soul from death and has covered a multitude of sins. I mean, this is a high calling we all have as Catholic Christians, and that is to share the faith, but also, you know, the spiritual works of mercy are, you know, the last two of those six are difficult, you know, to comfort those who have suffered loss, to console those who are mourning, to forgive, to forbear, right? These are, you know, extremely important that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and do these things in the lives of folks. But we also have to remember the last two, to admonish the sinner and educate the ignorant. That's part of the core of our calling as Catholic Christians, and that's a hard one. Cy, Frank, I will tell you, that's a hard one, especially the part of admonishing the sinner, because we have to be prudent. It doesn't mean, you know, we act like jerks and, hey, you're a sinner. You know, we love people with the truth, to be sure, and we have to really pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, you know, verse 5, St. James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, God will give you wisdom if you ask him for it. He will, to help you to be able to deal with this situation. But, you know, I would recommend do it lovingly, as our first pope commanded us in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always and be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that lies within you. That's what she needs, a reason for the hope that we have. But he says, do it with meekness and with respect.
Frank, thanks very, very much for the call. I hope that was helpful. We got to take a quick break, and then we will be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Tim Staples. Are you looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker to come and speak at your conference or parish event? We've got a whole host of Catholic Answer speakers just waiting to get on a plane and come see you. Go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you. Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God, to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix. I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. If you haven't dialed yet and you got a question about the Catholic Church, 888-318-7884 is the number. That's the line for Catholics, 888-318-7884. If you're a non-Catholic, the number is 888-31-TRUTH, 888-31-TRUTH. So either Catholics and non-Catholics are welcome. Just make sure you get the right number. Does that amuse you, Nick, at all? No? I think that does not amuse Nick. That's, just in case you didn't know, those are the same number. We were just talking with Frank in Indianapolis, so let's go to Jeff in St. Louis, Missouri. Yes. You are on with Tim Staples. Jeff, your question, please.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you for taking my phone call. I just had a quick question about there was a caller last hour who was talking about going to confession. And I'm just curious, where in the Bible do you guys find where Jesus – or God or any of the apostles required acts before becoming a Christian or before participating
sure
in the church as a Christian?
Sure. That's a great question, Jeff. And first and foremost, of course, that would be baptism, because as we see Jesus himself says in Mark 16:16, well, if you back up to verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel, to preach to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So baptism is, and St. Paul teaches it as well in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says we are buried together with him through baptism, so that as Christ was raised to newness of life, we may be raised to newness of life in him. So obviously we have to believe, we have to be baptized. That is our initiation into the body of Christ, and that opens the door to all the other sacraments. Was that the gist of your question?
Oh, he dropped.
He's no longer there.
Oh, I'm sorry that he did.
Yeah.
Because that sounded like it was going an interesting direction.
And we could talk too. I mean, I hope I got to the gist of his question, but the idea of repentance, you know, that's a prerequisite before, at least for an adult convert. Now, of course, if you're an infant, your parents believe in your stead and they bring you to the waters of baptism. But repentance is necessary. You know, that's the very first message of Jesus, at least according to Mark's gospel. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so repentance must come first, even for the adult who is going to be baptized, if baptism is going to have its fruit in the soul of the one being baptized. You know, a lot of folks are confused on this side. They'll say, and rightly so, that when we're baptized, we receive an indelible mark. You know, Ephesians 4:30 talks about that, the seal. We have been sealed unto the day of redemption, right? That's there are, in fact, three sacraments where we receive these indelible marks. First and foremost, baptism. But because we receive the seal of baptism doesn't mean that we're going to heaven.
Ah, yeah, right.
Because if you have an adult convert, let's say he's going to the waters of baptism, the father's going to baptize him that Sunday, and he's in an adulterous relationship he didn't tell father about, well, guess what? When he gets baptized, he'll get that sacramental seal. But he's not going to get sanctifying grace until he repents and gets out of that relationship, right?
Yeah.
So that's an important biblical prerequisite before you can do anything as a Christian. Because remember, and maybe this is an important point to make to our caller there, that we believe as Catholics what Jesus teaches in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. In fact, St. Paul describes the state of a human person before the grace of God enters into his soul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where he says, you Ephesians who were dead in your trespasses and sins, right? You were by nature children of wrath. That's not a real positive thing. You know, he hasn't read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People,
he
has
missed
he?
That one.
You know, he is presenting the truth, though. Apart from Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. We can't merit anything of eternal value. But the key is, once we repent, we allow the grace of God into our life, again, have faith, and through baptism we're incorporated into Christ, then, oh my goodness, it's a whole different world. Once we enter into Christ, then, you know, it's John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, you will do greater things even than I did. After we enter into Christ, what does Paul say? I can do all. Notice, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You can do absolutely nothing. But once you enter into Christ, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's the Catholic message. You got to get into Christ because he's the first principle of merit in your soul that empowers you to be able to do anything for God. And once you're in Christ, there is no limit to what you can do.
Can you? What about the order of it, though, Tim? I just want to be clear on something.
Yes.
So repent, believe in the good news, be baptized. What if it doesn't happen in that order for
That's
you?
Right. Sometimes
is it
doesn't.
Still okay? Like say I got baptized, you know, years ago, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, hey, I'm a miserable sinner. I got to repent.
Amen.
Now, what happens? So I have to go back and be rebaptized? Or?
No, you don't. That's a great point, Cy, that God is not bound by the sacraments. You and I are.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So God acts all the time, thanks be to God, extra sacramentally. Otherwise, we would never even, as adults, you know, just the fact that you say, hey, I'm a sinner, man, I need to go and get baptized, that's extra sacramental grace, right? That's God acting on your soul, giving you actual graces to wake you up and, oh, my goodness, I'm a sinner. I repent. Father, I need your help.
Yeah.
Right? But you're right. It can happen in the lives of people in all sorts of different ways. You can't put God in a box because he kicks the sides out every time. You know, you try to... Okay, I've got it now. You believe, you're baptized, then God does it in a different way. I mean, we have, for example, Cornelius, who received the Holy Spirit. In fact, he got confirmed before he was even baptized, right?
I never thought about that, but yeah,
that's right.
He's a man living in the Spirit.
And of course, that is kind of an extraordinary situation, because the whole point there in Acts chapter 10 was that Peter didn't want to baptize him. Many of the of Peter's sort of persuasion were like, we don't want these goyim, we don't want these, you
especially
know,
a Roman,
the ethnoi, like, these Gentiles, right? And God had to do something extraordinary in order to wake Peter up. In fact, Peter even says, Who was I to withstand God? How could I refuse to baptize these who the Holy Spirit fell upon, even as we? And so God does things in extraordinary ways, but we also want to present the ordinary way.
Thanks so much for that call. I'm sorry that we lost you there, caller. We'll go now to Jordan in Detroit, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Second call from Detroit today. We're having a good day in Detroit. Jordan, your question for Tim Staples.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm currently reading Behold Your Mother, and it's beautifully written, Tim.
Oh, I appreciate that. All right.
Yeah. So question for you regarding the charismatics in the context of the Mass. I went to a charismatic Mass for Pentecost Vigil. And it was beautifully done. The liturgy was completely there. It was beautifully and reverently celebrated. But there was, like, a lot of praise and worship before the actual Mass began. There were a lot of speaking in tongues. And after communion, people were invited to share words of knowledge. So I was just curious about, I guess, your thoughts and the church's thoughts on the charismatics in the context of the Mass, and also if there's been a history of that as well, even dating back, like, to the early church.
Right. Well, you certainly have it in the New Testament, as we see in the 1 Corinthians. In fact, Paul is writing 1 Corinthians, in particular, chapter 14, to correct some abuses that were going on, and specifically, as you know, with regard to tongues and prophecy, at least he focused on those two that were being abused. However, what we don't see in the history of the church, at least to my knowledge, is we don't see that, say, you know, in the second, third centuries continuing in the church. We don't see that liturgically, you know, folks speaking in tongues and whatnot during the liturgy, which is interesting. Now, in the charismatic movement, which is approved by the church, Pope Paul VI wrote a letter to the Charismatics in 1968. It's actually a wonderful letter. Actually, it has some caveats in there, too. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, that we have, in a sense, at least we have to be open to, as Catholics, the fact that God may well be moving in the church in a new way, in a way that kind of harkens back to what was going on in the first century. But it's kind of its own thing, you know,
yeah,
it's
right.
It's a development that, and the church is allowing it, and so must I. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work, and as long as the local community is keeping within the parameters established by the bishop, who is in union with the Pope, you know, it's pretty much, you know, it's approved. Now, I've been to many charismatic masses over the years, and I've been to a few where I would tell you right now, there were absolute abuses going on. I mean, things were going on that were, was kind of getting a little out of hand here. Am I in a Pentecostal church here? Folks are shouting and jumping and all kinds of stuff, you know, and that's, I would argue, is not really Catholic, but at the same time, you know, we have to be very careful. I'm not the bishop, and if the bishop permits it, it's being done, you know, I would pray decently and well-ordered, the way St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. But, you know, I will say this. I love the fact that the church has allowed the charismatic movement to flourish as it has. And
yeah,
the church did not just crush it,
mm-hmm,
but the church is saying, hey, let's see mm-hmm the fruits that come of it. Let's see what happens. And I don't think anybody can argue there's not been really good fruits since, you know, 1967.
Jordan, what do you make of all that?
That was great. Thank you. I guess it's just kind of tough as, like, a Catholic, you know, our life is centered right around the Eucharist. And so I guess, like, some of my friends and myself, it was kind of tough to actually dive into that charismatic part of the Mass, you know, knowing that Jesus is right there and we're trying to be reverent, and that is the Lord, and that's his body and blood, and a memorial of his death, you know, so.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, that is not my cup of tea. Now, I'm an old Pentecostal boy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get crazy, come to some of my old services when I was a Pentecostal. I mean, my goodness. But it's not my cup of tea, although I really appreciate the charismatic movement, as I said, just for that openness to the Holy Spirit and allowing God. Because I do think that's something that we continue to need in the church, just to be open in your families, to pray for your child who's sick, Pray for miracles. Believe in miracles. God wants to do miracles. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we can get so stuffy, we keep God from doing what he wants to do. Like when he was in his own hometown of Nazareth, he could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. I don't want to be in a situation like that to where Jesus says, you know, Tim, I could have healed you, but you, knucklehead, you didn't believe. I could have healed your son, but knucklehead, you didn't believe. I mean, I want to say, Lord, I believe. Now, of course, God doesn't heal all the time because sometimes it's not his will to heal. But man, thanks be to God for the charismatic movement that has helped Catholics, I think, to open up to the gifts of the Spirit, allowing God to move in their lives and even to perform miracles. But at the same time, the charismatic way of worship is not for everyone. It's not,
no,
it's, as I said,
right.
It's not my cup of tea, and obviously it's not yours either. But at the same time, if it's, as Father Brannan, my old Jesuit spiritual director, you know how much I love Father Brannan,
yeah.
Sai, who just died, a little over a year ago now. I can't believe it. But he used to say, Tim, if it helps people to pray, God bless them.
Because Jordan, thanks so much for that call. There's nothing more important than prayer. There's nothing more important than worshiping God and that relationship with God.
Amen. Amen.
I really appreciate that call, Jordan. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Tim Staples, Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
What difference does it make who or what you worship or what you believe? Sharing the faith used to make some people mad because it challenged their own strong beliefs. Today, it makes a lot of people yawn because they don't have strong beliefs about anything. Religious indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates modern culture. This is Matt Nelson, and in my new book, Just Whatever, I'll take down the building blocks of religious indifference one by one. We'll look at the different kinds of indifference you tend to encounter in your friends and family members to see where they come from and why they're seductive. What you believe matters. Find out why and what to do about it in my new book, Just Whatever. You can order your copy of Just Whatever by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Father Larry Richards.
You know, I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and both of my parents, both of them, were police officers. My father was a police officer, and my mother was a police officer. They always thought I'd be a cop, too, and in some ways I am, a spiritual cop. But we keep doing what we do, and we come from wherever we come from, it doesn't matter. Where God is calling us is what's most important.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Open Forum. Lots and lots of people on the line, so I'm just going to keep it moving here. Tim Staples is our guest. If you dial now, we probably get to you before the top of the hour, so do not despair if you haven't dialed yet, 888-318-7884, but we are going to just keep working our way through these calls. Paco in Auburn, New York, watching on Facebook. Paco, thank you so much for joining us on Facebook. Your question for Tim.
Yeah, well, Tim, I'm a big fan. I've seen a lot of your videos, like when you debate James White and other things.
Great.
I called originally. I didn't realize I was getting the shift change because I formulated a question for Tom Nash.
Okay.
Based on a book you wrote, and I saw him discuss at EWTN. So I'm going to ask that question because it's what I spoke to the screener about, but okay. I'm hoping I might be able to ask Tim Staples' question also if there's time.
Okay.
So the question I have is regarding, I learned from listening to Scott Hahn that the Book of Revelations can be seen as a glimpse into the heavenly liturgy.
Yes.
And I was wondering if we could see the Book of Hebrews in a similar light, because the author talks about Christ entering the heavenly sanctuary, which is the true sanctuary of which the temple in Jerusalem was a shadow. And it talks about Christ acting in that heavenly sanctuary as a priest in an intercessory role.
Yes.
So could it be seen in a similar light as looking or at least talking a little bit about the heavenly liturgy?
Yeah, I would say, Paco, that there's, as long as you make the distinction between the two different literary genres here, the Book of Revelation, of course, is apocalyptic literature. It is, and by the way, Scott does a wonderful job in explicating that reality in the Lamb's Supper and many other books that he's written. He's gone into that. In fact, I talk about that as well in my in numerous CD sets that I've done over the years. But I think we have to make this distinction. The Book of Revelation, no doubt, and by the way, this isn't just Scott Hahn and Tim Staples. The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about how the Book of Revelation is a glimpse into the heavenly liturgy that we participate in every Sunday, every day, if you go to daily Mass. But here's the difference. The Book of Revelation, I believe in, Revelation chapter 4, where, God says to St. John, come up hither. Right. In fact, back in my dispensationalist days, I would have said that was the rapture. When he says, come up hither, he's being raptured up. And then, he's seeing the future. Well, that's not true. Come up hither and see that which must shortly come to pass is referring to the liturgy. He's standing there, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, on the Lord's Day. Right, he's in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Can't get to Mass, right? As I think Scott said years ago, I remember hearing him say, "Can't get to Mass, so God brings the Mass to him." Right? I mean, he says that kind of tongue in cheek because, of course, John is an apostle; he can say his own Mass. But it's true. I will show you what must shortly come to Mass or to pass. John the Apostle, you're going to celebrate Mass today. It's the Lord's Day. I'm going to show you what you're going to experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at the Book of Revelation and an accurate way so you enter into that great mystery. But the distinction I would make here is between actually you and I being able to see the images that John saw, the heavenly images and metaphors. Hebrews is catechetical. It's teaching about the heavenly liturgy, especially there in chapters 10, 12, 13. It's teaching about it, but it's not so much. I wouldn't say it is a glimpse into the heavenly liturgy in the same way Revelation is, because Revelation is a particular literary genre, apocalyptic in nature. But they definitely, I think, go hand in glove. I mean, Hebrews helps you to understand Revelation and vice versa.
Paco, you said you had a real quick question directly for Tim.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of a Tim Staples question because of your background as a Protestant. I was watching a sort of debate with a street preacher, all fire and brimstone and kind of Calvinistic in his understanding of the depravity of man, and one of the people in the audience, a woman, sort of objected, and she gave an example of how there's good in sinners. And I don't think she was saying an active homosexual lifestyle is not sinful, but she was pointing out that her friends who were living that lifestyle had prayed for her and were there for her when she really needed friends.
Right.
And the response from the Calvinistic sort of preacher was that Jesus doesn't listen to sinners.
Yes.
And I never heard such a thing, but I wondered if maybe as a Protestant you would have some idea what scripture he was thinking about.
Yeah, well, there are numerous verses of scripture, and there is, as is the case all the time, my friend, there's a partial truth here. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, we receive that which we ask of the Lord in prayer because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So there is no doubt that our lives, if we're rejecting God, then there is a sense in which we can say, yeah, God is not going to hear your prayer. But we have to be, you can't, see, here's the problem, Paco. It is still Paco, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Paco, here's the problem. What happens with the, you know, these, I call them fundamentalist Calvinists, right? That just, you know, take that and put it on steroids, lift it out of context and absolutize it, right? Mm-hmm. So that, by golly, if you're outside of Christ, God never hears you. Well, there'd be no way we could ever get in Christ. If he doesn't hear sinners, how in the world could you ask him to forgive you? Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you sin, especially if you sin gravely, you're no longer in Christ. And so you need to, right? You need to ask him for forgiveness. The fact is, God gives grace to those that are lost. He died for us even when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He reaches out to Cornelius, right, in Acts chapter 10, who doesn't even know who Jesus is. And the angel is sent to him and says, Cornelius, thy prayer and thy alms have ascended up to heaven as a memorial. Even though he doesn't even know who Jesus is yet, right? Because while it is true that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, that's talking about those who are recalcitrant. They're, nope, I don't. Well, then, yeah, God's not going to hear you. But anyone who is open to God's love, anyone who truly asks, God is going to look, ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7, right?
Right, right.
If you ask sincerely, I don't care in what sin you're in, God is going to hear you and meet you. And of course, he's going to call you out of that sin. He's going to call you to repentance. But what you have to understand, Paco, is for the Calvinist, see, unless God from all eternity has willed for you to receive the grace of salvation, you're lost. You are totally depraved. God doesn't hear you. In fact, he hates you. Read Jonathan Edwards, right? Sinners in the hand of an angry God. God hates you. He despises you. He can't wait to cast you into the flames of hell. In fact, Jonathan Edwards says he hates you infinitely more than you would hate a scurvy little spider. You have to understand the history of Calvinism.
Wow.
That it's totally white and black here. If God hasn't given you the grace of regeneration, then you're
worse than nothing.
You are exactly. You're less than it's totally black or white there. But that's not the biblical view. What that is taking some metaphors and images of Scripture really out of context. Look, when we sin, we become really stinky. All right,
yeah.
We don't believe in total depravity, but as my friend Father Mitch Pacwa used to say years ago, he'd say, you know, Luther's metaphor of we're a pile of cow dung, you know, covered over with snow, but what are you underneath? You're still cow dung, right? Well, as Father used to say, hey, we'll give you this much. We get pretty stinky as sinners. But God is the one who brings the seed, the word of God, the water of the Holy Spirit, puts the seeds inside of us and pours in the water of the word and brings flowers out. And it's a process. It's not a thing where God just transforms you instantaneously and you either got it or you don't.
Right.
It is a process. And that's, again, there's a sticking point between us and Calvinists. But I guess, Paco, I'm saying this to help you to understand that black and white mentality. Oh, look. And the worst part of it, though, Paco, is when they start picking and choosing who it is that are the ones who God hates and despises and are lost, which is really ups the ante when it comes to the dangerousness of the error of Calvinism, because it becomes pride, it becomes arrogance, and it's, oh my gosh, please don't talk to people like that. Because when you stand there and you're saying, I'm the righteous one, and look at that sinner, that homosexual over there, God doesn't hear his prayer. You know what you are? You're exactly what Jesus talks about
over and over.
Yeah. The publican and the Pharisee. I thank God that I'm not like these poor sinners. Who Amazing. Was it that went home justified? The publican who said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Does that help at all, Paco?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I was hoping maybe just if I could ask just a real quick point on Hebrews.
Yes.
The author speaks about Christ's priesthood reflecting his being an eternal person, at the priesthood is also in some sense eternal. And he also mentions that if a priest does not have something to offer, he's not yes. a priest. So yes. if you put the two together and say that Christ in some sense is offering, obviously
Absolutely.
Not in a bloody way, but it's some way in the heavenly liturgy, offering
Amen.
Himself to the Father.
Oh, yeah.
Can
See,
you say that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had mentioned Hebrews 10, 11, and 12, but it's so much more than that. You're referring to Hebrews chapter 8. In my CD set called Living Bread, I go into detail on that, but you're right. A priest is not a priest who doesn't have something to offer. And so Jesus, as our eternal priest, what is it that he's offering? He's not offering himself in a bloody way, because Hebrews chapter 10 tells us he was offered once for all. Hebrews 10 verse 11, or Hebrews 10 verses 10 and 11, he was offered once for all in a bloody way, and yet Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is he offering? But himself now in an unbloody way. This is why we see him in Revelation chapter 5, right? As a lion lamb, right? He's still a lamb as well as a lion. The metaphors start blowing your head up, right?
Yeah.
What am I? How can? Because he's both the lion of the tribe of Judah who proclaims the truth and who is the truth, and he also continues to be the lamb of sacrifice who offers himself for us. But in an unbloody way. As you say, I think that's a classic example, Paco, of connecting, you know, Hebrews 8 and, you know, and elsewhere, Hebrews 7, Hebrews 8, with Revelation chapter 5 and more. So thanks for sharing that. This
Thank
is
you,
good
Paco.
Stuff.
Thanks very much. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples right after this.
Tim Staples, today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics. Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Man, time is flying today. Open Forum with Tim Staples. Going to try to get as many questions as I can before we got to go. Alma in Salem, Oregon, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the Catholic Answers app, Alma. Your question for Tim.
Yes. Hello, real yes. quick. Sai, I think you're hilarious. So thank you for always making me laugh.
Well, you're the one. I'm so thanks, Alma.
And Tim, I just ordered Behold Your Mother, so I can't wait to receive that. And also, I'll be praying that you get good results at your appointment tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much.
You should call every
You're
day,
welcome.
Alma.
Thanks. So, yesterday I got a message from my sister-in-law asking for prayers for her friend who just found out that she's 25 weeks pregnant, and she just found out that her baby has severe deformities and actually have a disease that is normally detected after birth, but hers is so severe that it got detected at 25 weeks and it's beginning to affect the baby's brain. So she is opting for an abortion. And I was wondering, what would you say in a situation like that? Is it ever okay to have an abortion when the mother isn't at risk, like it's not affecting her health-wise, but she's more or less doing it because she says that's not a quality of life for the baby to have.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? But we really do need to share with her ever so gently that it is God who gives life and only God can take it. We cannot ever directly kill an innocent child. A preborn child. Now, you know, we have to allow God to be God. Now, if the baby is obviously no longer alive, then, you know, you have to do a DNC and extract the baby. Some people get upset at that, but actually if the baby's dead, there's no problem with, and they will sometimes, not sometimes, they call that an abortion. They'll do a DNC, but that's not abortion in the sense of taking a life. But as long as that baby is alive, we pray for that baby, we pray for the mom, and what you don't want to do is exacerbate this situation where it's already a very difficult situation where you have a child that's going to die, you know, or at least it appears, right? And I'm correct to say that, right? The doctors are saying that the baby has no chance to live.
They haven't exactly said that, so this is kind of the mom just taking
Okay, there's not
choice,
okay.
I guess
there are some situations where doctors will say that the baby now in this you don't even have that in this situation, so I mean that's really we would say a no-brainer that you cannot directly kill the child. But even in a case where you have a baby that's dying in utero and only has days to live, you still cannot directly kill the child. You have to let God be God. But what we have to think here is we don't want this woman who's going through this painful pregnancy and such to then later have to deal with the fact that she killed her baby. You know, at the moment, it might seem to her she's in a very difficult situation, and she may wrongly even believe I'm doing my baby a favor by killing my baby. But you're not. You're not doing yourself a favor. You're not doing the baby a favor. No, you're killing your baby. And that's going to come back to haunt you. I mean, how many stories have we heard, Sai, about women who have had abortions and later it destroys them? They do it at the time, and then they realize years later, oh my gosh, I killed my child. So, you know, if we can at all help this woman to see this is a human being created in the image and likeness of God, and you give that baby to God, she will never regret it.
Yes. I might just interject, because you and I both know people who have born children who they knew would die within days of, or not hours of birth.
Yes.
And you never hear regret from them. You always hear they're so grateful for the few hours, in some cases minutes, that they had with that child. I wonder if there's a way to invite the mother to this. Or also people, she may not know that there are people who will accept the child if she can't care for the child or will help
her. How many times do we find as well, they say the baby is going to die, won't live long, and the baby ends up living 20 years more, you know? And so it's just never the right thing to say, I'm going to take the place of God and I'm going to end the life of my baby. You just can't do that.
Does that help you in formulating what you want to say and do in this situation, Alma, or do you need more?
I was having a conversation with my sister-in-law and I was just kind of telling her the same thing because I actually have a friend whose baby they told her would not survive, and they actually suggested, you know, that she should get have an abortion or DNC, and she didn't, and she actually got to meet her baby and had her for 11 days.
Yeah.
And she says that that was like the best decision she could have ever met, because she would have 100 million times, you know, would have rather have, is glad that she was able to meet her baby. The thing is that my sister-in-law is Catholic, and I told her, you know, like, this is God's decision. This is something that, like you said, Tim, you know, something that she thinks is the best decision now because she's so worried about the quality of life that the child will have.
Yeah.
But even my sister-in-law, being a Catholic, said, to be honest with you, if I was in this position, I would probably be making the same decision.
Somebody has to be a voice for life. Somebody needs to be a voice for life here. And I think I misheard you initially. We're talking about a child that has a good chance to live how many years after the child is born? Does the doctor even know?
No, they don't even know, and that's exactly what I told
my sister-in-law. Goodness.
Like, this is all hypothetical. Like, we don't even know, you know, what's going to happen. And that kind of, like, turned, like, a dim light, I guess, because she was like, well, that's true, but I mean, if this is something that isn't detected until after birth, and it's already affecting the brain, and it's already showing up on scans, and she was just like, you know, it's probably something that I would do as well. So I don't know if there's any more I can do or say to kind of, I just feel the need, I need to say something more.
Yeah, I would too, if I were you, you know, ever so gently, but like I said, somebody needs to be a voice for that child, and a voice for life, and a voice for the mom. You know, what comes to mind, Cy, is the little flower. When she was suffering so badly, you know, she said, do not allow poisons or anything to get anywhere near those. Or was that Saint Bernadette? I might be conflating the two. One of those two great saints who suffered terribly before they died said, don't allow anything to get close to those who are suffering, like poisons. Because in a moment of pain, they will irrationally take the easy way out. And here's a saint and doctor of the church, you know, saying this. So how much more, you know, those who are suffering and going through such anguish, you tend to lose your ability to reason. And this is why we need people around her to be the voice for life, to comfort her and to pray for her and to pray for the baby. And to speak sanity where everything is chaotic.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we did that yesterday. We
praise God.
Offered up a rosary. So
praise God.
Well, I know many listeners are praying as well, and we will. I'll ask Father Hugh to remember you and your friend or your sister's friend in prayer here.
You might want, if you haven't heard it, Eric Jenness, the great pianist, incredible. Pianist has a testimony. I think you can still get it at St. Joseph Communications that will blow your mind. He and his wife lost numerous babies. He held one of his babies. I remember hearing that talk, and there wasn't a dry eye in the joint. Watched his child gasp for its last breaths and said, like you said, Cy, it was a gift from God. Yeah. Painful beyond words at the moment, but a gift from God. I got to hold my baby.
And how much more for a Christian who knows that every parent, it's a gift to have a child, but to know that that child was baptized and is in the presence of God immediately upon leaving your own arms.
Mention that you, this child is going to be baptized, you know? I mean, what a blessing, right?
Yeah. Alma, a very important call. I think many people have the same question, and we do, as Tim said, we have to just keep on the clarity that a human life is not a thing to be said, that it's not worthy of life. I mean, that's something from a generation before us that led to horrors unimaginable. We never can go down that road again to say, no, that's not a life worth living. That's not a quality of life worth having. And people need to know there's hospice for babies too. Your hospital, if you ask them, can provide hospice for a baby. That doesn't mean that the child will be born into the world to unbearable suffering and then die. They can receive palliative care as infants as well. Alma, again, thanks again for the call. As you can hear, there's the music playing, so
no
we gotta
way.
Go.
No way.
I know.
We just started.
I know. Paco took up the whole show. Though. That's why. It feels like we just started.
And we love you, Paco.
Yeah, we do. But we're on to your tricks. Next time you call, Paco, you're going to get one question, and then you're out of here. Tim Staples is the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Maybe you grab it and read it between now and August 15th. Do you know why I say August 15th? Do you have any idea why I say August 15th?
It has to do with the Assumption, I
would say. Yeah, the Assumption of Mary. and everything in the store at the shop.catholic.com is on sale right now. So go to shop.catholic.com, get it on sale, and be happy you read it between now and the Assumption. Tim Staples, thank you very much
great
for a very fine hour.
Great to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, very moving call there at the end. Alma, we're grateful for that call. We'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.